Hello, everyone. I didn't think I'd be speaking so early on, but here I am. Thank you so much for all the love and the support you all have shown. I know you all hardly know me, and this is a great leap of trust on Russ's part. But thank you so much for letting me be here. So as you can see on the screen, the title of my sermon is Welcoming the Teacher by Praying in the Spirit. And I just feel through the whole service, this has just been a theme, you know, for God to be central, for the Holy Spirit to take over, for the teacher to take over. And we are just a small character in the story, but he is the hero. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is the unsung hero in our lives, but he is the hero. And today I'm so glad we spend time to sing about this hero. So let him not be an unsung hero in our midst, but rather a sung and praised hero in our midst. So even though Russ prayed, since it's about the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, I think I'll pray again before I start. And pray for us. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're not a father that is mute. You're a father who speaks to his children. You're a father who says that you're my child and I know you. I know you by name. I formed you and I'm the one who has created you. You know the plans and purposes for us, Lord. The next thing we sang is, Lord, that you be the center in our lives, Lord, that when we come to this earth, we don't forget our husband and our creator. He is the one who created us. And Lord, that you are the hero. You are the central character of our story, Lord Father God. You are the director of our story, Lord. And we are actors and actresses who have to act out the script, Lord Father God, that you put inside of us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as I share today, Lord, it's a good thing if it's nothing new. It's a good thing if it's something that's already been shared. But let it just be an encouragement to remind us of things that we have learned in the past, for the treasures that you've already given us, Lord, and to walk in those treasures and to receive from them. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As I was praying for this and preparing, I just saw this picture of us as a church being completely consumed and wholly consumed by God. And it's not just something he wants to do in 2022, but it's something that we can take an opportunity, you know, take it as an opportunity that as we are starting this new year, he wants to completely consume us. There's no hesitancy on his part. You know, if there was supposed to be a hesitation, it should have been on God's part. You know, he's like, do I want to indwell you? Do I want to walk with you? And he's like, yes, 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 100 times yes. That's what I created you for. And I just saw us like being completely consumed. But it was a decision that we all, you know, we all had to make, whether we could be wholly consumed or partially consumed. But I just see as we choose to be wholly consumed, you know, by this river that flows. I'm sure you've seen it on the National Geographic channel, like, you know, when a river flows, nothing can stand, you know, in its way, like when it gushes. And if we let that river to flow through us, you know, we don't even have to try. We can effortlessly be changed. We can effortlessly move, you know, and like that old song talks about, teach me to dance to the beat of your heart, you know, teach me to walk by the power of your spirit. That will happen as we let the Lord consume us. So this sermon is lined up with that of how to let the Lord completely consume us and how to walk by the Spirit. I can see all of y'all are much more experienced than me in this, even just hearing how y'all prayed, you know, for people who are ailing at the moment and how y'all worshiped God. Y'all have definitely heard this before. And I won't go through it the conventional way about maybe talking about the initial like day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came and what praying in the Spirit really means. I won't, and you know, go into the theory of it so much. But what I'd like to share today is just my testimony of how I started that journey and a few takeaways that we can practically apply. if that's all right. Yeah, all right. So I was born and raised in a Christian family. Praise God for that. That was a testimony in itself because my dad came from a Hindu background, from a background that believed that he already had salvation, but God turned the light on when he was in his early 20s in the Indian Navy. He came to know the Lord. And my mother came from a Roman Catholic background, but didn't really have a relationship with Christ until again in her early 20s, you know, God was pursuing her and he brought her to the light and they ended up in the same church. And then the rest is history. So my parents were very passionate about God. I don't remember my parents really either disciplining us or forcing us to read the Bible or anything. But just even at the age of 2 or 3, I knew. The most important thing to them was God and God's word. So much so that, you know, like when children, you know, you see them like taking their father's shoes and walking their father's shoes or putting their mom's makeup on or, you know, like trying to be adults in whatever way they, you know, they see. And, but, you know, my mother tells me like I would take the Bible even when I didn't know how to read and just act like I was reading it because that was the adult thing to do. And I knew some words, like I knew Abraham, and, you know, so I'd like flip the pages and say Abraham as if I was reading it, you know. So it was so, like, I'm so thankful to have parents like them that, you know, that was just what their life showed. And I grew up seeing my grandmother and my mother praying in tongues. And they weren't very, like, loud women, you know, both of them very sober charactered, like, you know, very quiet. But I just saw that this would be a constant thing. They would just, you know, pray in English as well as pray in the spirit. And I just hear them speak in this unknown language. I didn't know the theory about it, but as they would speak in this unknown language and I'd be in the same room, I could sense the warmth of God. I could sense the presence of God. And this also, it was so naturally supernatural that as they sang, I just joined in one day. I don't even know when I started, but I just joined in. And I know it was before I went to school. So in India, we start school by 3, 3 and a half. So it was just at home, just started, you know, singing in the spirit. That was my early introduction to it. And then when I hit 5, I remember this incident that I was living with my grandma at that time because it was the summer holidays. And my grandma woke up in the middle of the night and she woke me up as well. And she said, Ruthie, or like she called me baby, you know, I just feel we need to pray in tongues and let's, you know, pray together. And she just held my hand and she just started speaking in the spirit. And I just joined her, and in the middle of it, I was like, what are we praying for? You know, like, why are we praying now? And she's like, I don't know, you know, let's just pray. And we prayed for maybe like half an hour or something like that, and then ended up going back to bed. In the morning, my grandma gets a call from her youngest son, so my uncle, saying that he had had a really, so he was like the black sheep of the family and now he's not, but anyways, so he had a really wild night, was really drunk and doing all sorts of things, and he was in a, with a bunch of friends. He felt so sick that he wanted to go home. No one would drive home with him. He had a bullet. And he was like, you know what, I'm not going to wait for anyone. I'm just going to take my bike and go home. And this was sometime, you know, after 12:30. So it was pitch dark. And he stayed in the centermost part in Mumbai. So it's usually very busy. And if there's any place in Mumbai where construction work always happens, it's that place. Like that place, there's the construction just never stops. If you can think of it, Mumbai holds now 22 million people. So, you know, you're always constructing houses, building new water lines, putting, you know, whatever, your electric supply. And especially in the nighttime is when the construction happens so that the city can be up and running, you know, in the morning. So he takes his bike and he heads home. During his journey, he just feels like a tap on his shoulder saying, like, and a voice that says, go to the right, you know, go to the right side of the road. And that was actually the opposite side of the road. He shouldn't have been there, but he just felt this and he just took his bike and went and reached home, woke up the next morning. And, you know, like after his hangover and everything, he was like, wait a minute, I don't see anyone at home with me. You know, what was that voice like? Who tapped me on my shoulder? And so he ended up taking the bike again, going to that spot, and he saw that that night the BMC or the municipality had dug out that whole road to put in a new pipeline. And if he'd have just gone 5 feet further, that would have been the end of him with the speed he was going. And so this is the story that my grandma hears in the morning, you know, and you know, she was just thankful, like, you know, that she didn't know what she was praying for and she didn't know who she was praying for, but the Holy Spirit led her to pray for what she needed to pray for. And I just saw praying in the Spirit as a very natural, like, practical, like, daily life thing. You know, it wasn't some mysterious thing someone did on TV or, you know, someone had to shake or shiver and all that. While all that can happen and not putting God in a box, it was just something that was very practical, something that was very useful. It showed us that God was with us, so close to us. God with us, Emmanuel. And so, you know, these are just some, you know, landmarks. And now I reach 15. Actually, sorry, before I reach 15, I was 7. No, so, I remember, you know, these experiences and things. But what helped me is also the books that my parents gave me. And I started reading from a very young age, had a desire to read more about this and to know what it really meant and to understand it. And I remember one of the books my mom gave me was Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. And at that time, that was the book on the Holy Spirit. And it became so famous and everything. Anyway, so I got that book and I was, like I said, only 7 years old, but I ended up reading it and read all these stories of what God did through this man. And not only as a man, how God touched him as a young boy. And it was the monsoon season in India at that time. And I remember, like, after reading the book, standing by the window, hearing the rain. And if you're in the monsoon season in India, you can really hear the rain. It's like it's coming straight from heaven down to your window. And I don't know, I've always felt close to God, in, you know, during the monsoon seasons in India, just because of how torrential it is and how beautiful it is even. And I just remember looking at the rain and I was like, God, if you did it for that man, I want you to do it for me. And I don't care about the crusades. I don't care about, you know, those things. I just want to know you like my best friend. I want to know you like I've never known before. And I remember, like, a voice inside. It's like, if you want it, you will have it. If you want it, you will have it. And I remember that day, like, very clearly. Like, even today, I can remember that day so clearly that, you know, and that's why when I speak and say, like, it's not, you know, it's not us pursuing God, it's God pursuing us. And when you hear his love, when you hear his voice to you, it becomes very real. Anyway, so that was 7. And then, you know, life comes and different things happen. You make friends, you get busy. And not that I went away from God or anything, but praying in the Spirit or, you know, tongues kind of went on the back burner a bit. And I reach 15 and our church decides to go for a mission trip to a rural area in India called Aurangabad and visit 3 of the most poorest villages in that area. Now, as you may be aware that India has not only millions of gods, but also equally equally to that number, millions of languages, I would say, because they say the language changes every 3 hours you're on the train. But that's a lie. It's even more than that. And sometimes each family even has a very different dialect to that main language. So growing up in India, if you grow up in any state and go to a school in India, you have to learn English, you have to learn Hindi, which is the national language, and you have to learn the state language. In my case, it was Marathi. And so you have to learn three languages. And even after learning three languages, you still don't understand half the population. So, that's just how India is. So the villages we were going to spoke a certain dialect of my third language, which is Marathi. Now, I was not a fan of Marathi at all. Like, didn't really like it. Loved science, loved geography, loved everything else. Didn't really like that language and didn't focus on it in school. When we started praying and, getting ready to go for this mission trip, one of the things that came to mind is like, I know, God, we're going to be evangelizing. I know we're going to be praying for the sick. How am I going to do this? I don't know the language. And I was like, oh, I wish I paid more attention in school. And, all these things were coming. And I just felt so inadequate. And this was just one of the reasons. So it was not only the language. But I grew up in a very protected home, so anytime people would go on trips and things, my parents would always hesitate to send me because I was the youngest and I was the girl. But this youngest was the girl who always wanted to go out. And so I also had a kind of a bitterness towards my parents. Like, I feel I would have been more experienced if I would have gone and done more things. And so I felt inexperienced to do it. I felt inexperienced to speak the language. And I also didn't know what to do, in this situation. And that's when praying in tongues again, I started remembering about it. And it says that when we don't know what to pray for and we don't know, what to do, to invite the Holy Spirit, and He helps us in our infirmities to intercede for us and to pray for us as we ought to. And to get prepared for this mission trip, I started reading a lot of books on praying in the Spirit and how to be led in the Spirit. It's amazing what a test or a challenge can do. It wakes you up. And I remembered that desire and cry in my heart that I had as a 7-year-old. And I remember that incident where God was tugging on my heart, and I was like, God, I'm so sorry. I left that pursuit somewhere in the middle of all this. And I felt like that urge again, that desire again, that was my greatest desire. I remember I remember even telling God, my name is Ruth, and it means a friend or a beautiful friend. And I want to be known as a beautiful friend of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, where did all that go? I want that. I don't want that to be only a childish prayer, but I want it to come true. And I started reading books to do with praying in the Spirit because even though my church believed in it, it didn't really speak on it very much. And I didn't want it to just be an experiential thing. I wanted it to be something that was a revelation from the Word of God. So I remember reading 7 to 8 books, on tongues, like anything I could find. Then started just finding every scripture that I could find in the Bible, just writing it down and meditating on it. Okay, this is what it says. This is what, this is what, how it started. This is why God gave us. It's a very useful and practical gift. And so just started going through the theory. And as I started going through the theory, it was actually the Holy Spirit or the teacher just stepped in and started showing me and opening my eyes. And all this was done in my bedroom. And I remember it was a week or, around then before I had to go on the trip. And after doing all this, I remember just kneeling down and praying. And it had been a long time since I had spoken in tongues, let's just say that. And I remember kneeling down in my room alone and saying, like, here goes nothing. Like, I'm just going to start and I'm just going to start again. And the few things that did, you know, that were very clear to me, and Sam, sorry, could you please put the first slide, is I'll just share some, you know, what was in my heart at that time. These were some scriptures that I knew very clearly that Jesus, you know, had promised his disciples. I'll read it out. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John the Baptist baptized with water, but before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So I was like, yes, you know, we are supposed to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And this was a separate experience from receiving the Holy Spirit initially. The disciples had already received the Holy Spirit, and this can be seen in John 20, 22, when he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The other verse that really built my faith was, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And this really blessed me, because even my earthly father, so my dad in India, if I ask him for like two pieces of clothing or like two dresses, he'll, you know, take me to the shop and make sure I buy like 7 to 10 or something. He's always very, you know, very abundant, very, very generous, very gracious. And I was like, if my dad can be like that, how much more the Holy Spirit? I was like, I'm 15 now. He must have been waiting before the foundations of the earth for this day to come and this girl to just kneel down and like just pray, and he's going to come rushing in. And I could just, and I know this is the Holy Spirit showing me these things, and just knowing the love of God in all of this. 1 Corinthians 14, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." And verse 5, "I wish that all of you spoke in tongues," or "I wish that all of you speak in tongues." And these were just the verses that I was meditating on. And, you know, when you open your mouth to speak and you don't feel anything, you don't feel like anything coming and jumping on you and making you say things, you know, it was just on the basis of these verses. I just opened my mouth and I was like, you know, Holy Spirit, I trust that you will give me the utterance. You will give me the utterance. And I just started speaking and started speaking the syllables. And at first, it just felt like, am I making this up? Is this all me? You know, this doesn't sound like Hindi. This doesn't sound like anything else, you know. But then reminding myself, he who speaks, you know, it's not the Holy Spirit opening your mouth and doing, you speak. There is a partnership between you and the Holy Spirit. And what really helped is praying about these things. And in a sermon, they were not speaking about speaking in tongues, but I ended up watching a sermon on TV that showed a similar picture of a threshing field. It's amazing what God can do. When you ask him something in your bedroom, he can show you, you know, on TV, like a sermon, I don't know, filmed maybe 5 years ago or something, and it airs just when you need it. And this is a picture of a threshing floor. And if you can see in the middle there, there's the two bulls or ox, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not good. I'm supposed to be a biologist, but I don't know anything about cows and all their cousins. And I guess Indians should know more about cows as well. But anyway, so the two there in the middle, and then they are attached to this threshing sledge, you can say, and there's a man standing on it. And it just shows a partnership between the animals and the man. So the instrument is attached to the animals, that the animals are doing all the hard work. But the man is standing on the sledge so that his weight can go down on the sledge. And as the animals move around, sorry, I should have explained this before, that there's grain, you know, that's put on the bottom. And the whole idea of threshing is to remove the chaff from the grain so that the grain can be used for flour or whatever else it needs to be used for. And so they lay the grain down, and then there's this contraption that's attached to the animals. And it's like as the animals go around, they pull the sledge behind with this man standing and the weight of the man down, pushing down on the sledge. And as they go, the chaff gets removed. It's a very ingenious method to think of it, you know, when they didn't have all this machinery. But it just showed a partnership between the animal and the man, and then this contraption. And as soon as I saw this, I was like, yes, that's how intercession works with the Holy Spirit. That's how tongues works. And the Holy Spirit, yeah, the Holy Spirit was, you know, like he, as I spoke, it didn't matter. The syllables on its own didn't matter. It was the Holy Spirit who was using it. That was just my free will. The syllables were just my free will. The Holy Spirit was taking those syllables and speaking and praying the right things that needed to be prayed for. That really helped. So to quickly summarize that, ended up going on the mission trip. While we were on the mission trip and still praying, God kept giving us words like first-hand experiences that you're not going to know me as the God who did miracles for your parents or did miracles for this person and that person. You're going to know me as the God who does miracles when you pray and when you lay your hands on the sick, they shall recover. And we did see. We saw a lady who was in coma for 2 weeks and actually expected to die very soon. She was raised up, and this was a prayer spoken in Marathi, like while praying. God was just reminding me of words. God was just, I couldn't believe what was coming out of my mouth. And I was like, if only, you know, in my exams, this would have happened. But, God did it, you know. God showed firsthand, like he showed me who he could be, ended up speaking the language to the people. Many came to Christ during that time, and later on a small little church was started by YWAM and our church there, and amazing things came out of it. And even more, I feel amazing things in my life that attest, you know, I have a testimony there. I just quickly like to go over some practical things that I'd like us to maybe take away and into the week as well as into this year. So if you could go to the next. Okay, I don't know where. Okay, not that far. Sorry. There's a slide right after the threshing floor. I think BB said I have only 5 minutes or something, so I'll cut it really short and I'll just talk about, praying in the Spirit. One of the practical applications, and it's something that I'm sure we have definitely used, but maybe not something we talk about very often, but praying in the Spirit to overcome offenses or to overcome grief or to overcome any stronghold, you know, that we are facing on the inside. And as you know, it's very hard to change our character. And sometimes when there is a bad attitude or something, it becomes such a part of us that for us to change, it feels like we are denying ourselves or we are not protecting ourselves. And I just want to give an example of, I remember, like, you know, growing up, I didn't always have, you know, I know I studied well, did all, you know, certain things well. But as I had told you, you know, I had very overprotective parents for good reason, and they did it all out of love, and they're amazing people, and I hope you get to meet them someday. But I didn't have a very great attitude towards it, because in my mind, I was like, you know, I'm going to be going abroad someday, I'm going to be doing this and that, and I felt that, you know, they were coming in the way. And we used to just have constant fights about, you know, certain things, that I wanted to do this, I wanted to go there. And And there was just so much built up anger. I felt in my mind, God, you know, I don't think this will ever change. And I just felt the Lord challenge me one day after we had a big fight. And usually between me and my dad, our personalities are such, we can have a really big fight. And after that, we are fine with each other. You know, we're completely good. But at the same time, we both feel really guilty that we just said all that we said and did all that we did. Anyway, so ended up going to my room feeling really guilty. And this has happened so many times. I've asked God for help so many times. And then I just hear the Holy Spirit say, why don't you speak in tongues? Don't try to change yourself. Why don't you just speak in tongues right now? Don't try to reason yourself out of it. Why don't you just pray in the Spirit? I just start praying in the Spirit. And, you know, completely like, you know, God, I don't even want to change. You know, I want you to change that person, you know. And I started speaking in tongues. And I was like, God, I don't know why I come to this all the time. And then suddenly I just saw God show me how he saw me. And he saw me as a little child in a corner, just crying and really scared. And he just asked me, Ruthie, are you feeling scared right now? And I was like, yes. And he's like, scared of what? And I felt like, you know, I'm never going to do the things I was called to do. Like, you know, I don't have the support I need. And he just showed to me that all this anger was coming out of a place of fear. All this offense was coming out of a place of fear and a place that I felt that I needed to protect myself. And when I saw God show me that picture of me as a little child, one, I didn't feel like a mean monster anymore. You know, I didn't feel like he saw me as this bad criminal or anything. He just saw me as a child who was scared. And I just saw him like, take me into his arms. He's like, come, I will defend you. Come, I will protect you. And the plans and purposes I have for you, nobody can snatch. Nobody can say no. And as soon as God said that, like suddenly, you know, these big villains became normal, loving human beings again. And at this time, not every time, but at this time, it was a sudden change in my heart that I actually saw that, okay, nothing, not my parents, not the lack of finances in the family, not this, not that, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And I will go on to do the things he has called me to do. And from that day on, my attitude towards my parents definitely changed. I think rather than ending my sermon, I think I'll just quit somewhere because I think you'll get the point as we're running out of time. But I'd just like to encourage us that any place that we find like, you know, we are hard as stone or our heart is not moldable at the moment. And, you know, don't try to just talk yourself out of it or like psychologically, you know, try to reason yourself out of it. But allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to come in with his love because he, you know, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in with his love. He knows what we are fighting for. He knows why we are protecting ourselves. He knows, what we need. You know, he'll bring it down to the core issue and make sure and let us know that he will satisfy us there and that this fight is not our fight, but it's something that we can trust and entrust into his hands. So I won't go into the others, but you all seem really smart and like you all have got the message. So we'll stop here. Is it okay if I pray in closing? Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the memory verse even that we have all learned, that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall make your path straight. And I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit never does anything of himself, but he always does the will of the Father. He knows how he has created us. You know how you have created us, Lord, Father God. And I just pray in this next year, Lord, that we would understand this cry of your heart, Lord, that you know us, you know us, you know us, you know us, Lord. You know what makes us tick, you know our desires, and you know how to satisfy us, Lord. And so when we are, when we come to crossroads, when we come to situations, Lord, that we would just come to you, Lord, and ask to be led by you, Lord, and watch your effortless change happen in our lives, Lord. Thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for how much you love them, Lord. Thank you for your heart, for their hearts towards you, Lord, that you will definitely honor and bless everyone here, Lord. In your precious name I pray, amen.